Do we have any Simpsons fans? I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was growing up, but there's a, I watched a few episodes. There was a comic of Homer Simpson taking a lie detector test. And the comic starts off as they're explaining to him all that works in a lie detector test, how it measures your nervousness and whatever, and kind of gauges, you know, whether or not you're telling the truth. And they ask him at the end of a short description of what it is and how it works, "So, Mr. Simpson, do you understand this?" And Homer says, "Yes." And a lie detector test starts going on. And I say that because as our Lord finishes this series of parables explaining the mystery of the kingdom of God, he says, "Do you understand all these things?" And they say, "Yes." And I have to imagine they had no clue what they were just pretending to understand. Like, they don't understand. It's a mystery. We still struggle to understand it. But he asked them the question, they answered it. But I want to focus on this next line. "Then every scribe," meaning Jewish scripture expert, Old Testament expert, Torah expert, Brant Petrie, whatever, "who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven," the New Testament, Christ himself, "the fulfillment and the promise brought to completion, is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." This is one of those early references where, contrary to some early opinions of, well, now we have the New Testament, we can throw out the Torah and all those old rules and the whole story of the Old Testament and this God of violence, we can throw them out, that it doesn't matter anymore. We have Jesus, the God of the New Testament. And actually, our Lord himself is saying both the new and the old. And the scribe who was so diligent in understanding all the details and rubrics of the Old Testament, from everything from the moral laws of how to live to the temple and how it had to be built, like we had in the first reading, can finally have a key of understanding for the Old Testament. Like, all those stories, if you take any one of them, they're stories in themselves, but like we've said many times, when you look at them through the prism of the life of Jesus Christ or the teachings of Christ, or you know, the time of the church, like, oh my gosh, it makes so much more sense. There's like a lot there hidden in the writings of the Old Testament. They say the New Testament lies hidden in the Old, and that one reveals the other, and they both go together. Let's just focus for a moment on the dwelling place that Moses erected, this tent in the desert that God would use to dwell with the Israelites as they journeyed through the desert towards the promised land. Later on, Solomon would take that and build a temple to God. That would be destroyed in 70 AD, never to be rebuilt, unless you understand that Christ emphasized we are God's temple, towards the heavenly temple. That's the finale. So it's kind of three temples, if you will, but bear with me that the tent in the Old Testament, you know, it's nice to understand this great image of a tent in which God dwells. If you read some of the writings and how, you know, the poles and the columns and the pedestals, and then the covering on the top of the tent. Look at the ceiling just for a moment right now. Just look at the ceiling. I don't know, just dawned on me for what it's worth. You're kind of looking like you're dwelling in a revival tent kind of thing. I don't know, just maybe that's just me. But like, it's meant to bring us back to those images in which God dwelled in that tent. And in that tent and through that tent, God journeyed with the house of Israel in all the stages of their journey, it says. And we're reminded through this image and what we do here, God still, but in a more full and fulfilled way, accompanies us through the Eucharist, through the Mass, through this real overlap between the temple of earth and the temple of heaven. You notice even now you step up into the sanctuary. I mean, if there had been a veil here, it would look a lot like the Jewish temple, with the veil that Moses describes between the Holy of Holies and the place where the people dwell. Now, we remember at the crucifixion, the veil of the temple was torn in two. That's why in Catholic churches, you don't have a veil. Our Lord's presence overlaps into our presence. Heaven and earth are seen visibly, symbolically, to really overlap. So we simply ask the Holy Spirit to help us appreciate the truth of the entire revelation of Christ, the old and the new. We ask for a deeper understanding ourselves of what our faith teaches, why we shouldn't really struggle with, well, how come in the Old Testament says this crazy thing about stoning this person or how the male chauvinism, what, I don't have a problem with that because I have the whole scripture. I'm not stuck on just certain stories isolated by themselves. I understand it with the key of Christ in the New Testament to understand it. And then especially the beauty of the dwelling of God, which you and I are, says St. Paul. One insight I was struggling with this morning or pondering this morning is like, as God took so much care to tell Moses exactly how the temple of heaven was to be reflected through the temple on earth, in just details, poles, columns, covering the tent, the Holy of Holies, whatever. Well, if you are God's temple and I am God's temple, how much more time and trouble and attention God put to the details of the way your life has been made? How much more you mean to him than any building of brick or stone, if your soul is his dwelling place. So we simply ask the Holy Spirit to help us realize these things, appreciate the revelation God has given us about himself, ourself, how he dwells with us, and how he journeys with us all the way toward the fullness of the dwelling place of God in heaven. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.